Let's read Zechariah chapter 8. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days. Should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets who were present on the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those days, there was no wage for man or any wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe for him who went out or came in, for I set every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, and the ground give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you. And you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, says the Lord of hosts, so again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath, for all these things I hate, declares the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy and gladness, cheerful feasts. Therefore love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once and entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come and seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning that we can come to the Lord of hosts. Lord Jesus, we don't grow weary of reading your name in your word. You are the Lord of all. All things are in your hand. You control, you command all things. We are thankful. We are thankful to be in your presence this morning. We are thankful to have your word before us. Lord Jesus, help us as we dig into your word. We need you. It's in Jesus' name. Every Christian said, amen. Amen. Ugh. Look how this thing starts. God is jealous for his people, and he is jealous with great wrath. I mean, does that not just alone make you want to pull your hair out? Let's read verse 1. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion. And remember what Zion is. It's the temple mount right there in Jerusalem, where God is having his people build his house, where his presence is going to dwell among them. God is jealous for his people. He wants to be with his people. We've seen it all the way from Zechariah chapter 1. And look, we're jumping straight in here. But remember, this is 2 years from the 8 visions of Zechariah, chapters 1 through 6, chapter 7 and 8 is its own chiastic structure. Look really quickly, if you'll put that slide up for me. Right, here's what God is wanting for his people. And look right there in the middle of this thing. Future salvation. God wants to save his people. God wants to be with his people. He always has. He always will. Zechariah chapter 1. I'm going to read it just because I want to. Return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, the God of all creation. Desires relationship with you, with me, with us, right now. His heart has not changed since Zechariah chapter 8. God loves his people. And aren't you glad? I mean, God saves. He saved me. I'll never forget at age 21 when God just, man, he broke into my life, and I have never been the same since. And look, I was raised in church. I tried to be a good boy for a little while. I told some guys this past week, I was like, look, you can grit your teeth and you can white knuckle it for a little while. We all can do that for a month, 2 months, 3 months. But man, when Jesus came into my life, I've never been the same. He's so good. Like King David, he picked me out of a pit. Everything my dad told me, everything he told me came true. I didn't believe my dad was telling me the truth for years. He would speak and I would shake my head and I would say, no, I'm different. I'm special. That's not going to be the way it is for me. Don't we all think we're special? We all think that everyone else's experience will never be our experience, but everything my dad told me came true. And I remember sitting there in the pit. Dad said, son, sin is going to take you farther than you want to go. It's going to cost you more than you want to pay. And it's going to keep you longer than you want to stay. And I, Led Zeppelin can't be wrong. But by God's grace, he came and he picked me up out of the pit and he set my feet on a rock. And I've not been a perfect person since. But I have never been the same. I'm so thankful. Be thankful this morning. God is jealous for you. Well, Brent, my life doesn't seem like it's going all that great right now. He is jealous with great wrath. I mean, what? You can't buy this. He is jealous with great wrath. God will make you uncomfortable to have you. Man, praise his name. Do you understand his love? Do you know how much he loves you? He will wreck you. to have you. That's how good he is. I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, Zion. I will be with my people. That's who our God is. Look, I know it's bad right now. It's bad out there. Sometimes I scratch my head the same way you're scratching your head. I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but I know this one thing. Man, twice in this text, fear not. I will be with my people. That's our God. The God of the universe, the God of all creation, the God who formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, the God who formed Eve from his rib, from his side, showing companionship and relationship that we get to have with each other. God is in control. I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city and the mountain of... Let's just move through this quick because I got some other places I want to go. Verse 4, thus says the Lord of hosts. Man, don't you love this imagery? Old men, old women, walking with canes. Why? Showing great age. People are going to live in the blessing of the Lord once more. Young boys, young girls are going to be singing and dancing in the street. Feel this. This is, man, exile happened. City razed. Everything destroyed. But God says, I'm going to hear your songs again. Your children will dance. Your grandmothers and grandfathers will live to old age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts. If it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord. As much as you are going to enjoy my presence among you, I'm going to enjoy it just as much. Man, that's a God who loves. You know, one of my favorite places in the Gospels, and this is just a rabbit trail, but I love it when Jesus shows up at his friend Lazarus' funeral. And the Bible says as God just stands there and the sisters are crying, the family's distraught, the mourners are there. The Bible says Jesus weeps. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus cried. And that always kind of stuck with me because gods don't cry. I mean, I like Greek mythology. I read all that stuff. Zeus, I've never read a story about Zeus crying. Why? Because Zeus has a bag of lightning bolts. Right? Gods don't cry unless they care. This is who Jesus is. He loves. He wants our salvation delights him as much as it delights us. To know a God that loves that much. If you're in this room, and if you don't hear anything else that we talk about, God loves you. He just does. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people. Remember, they're scattered. Man, they are everywhere. Scattered all over the place. Jerusalem was no more. Behold, I will save my people from the east and from the west, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. Listen, the people don't come back on their own. It's not their faithfulness and it's not their righteousness that are doing this work in their lives. It is the faithfulness and the righteousness of a God who loves you more than you will ever be able to imagine. Exceedingly and abundantly, Ephesians 3:20 says, more than your mind can handle. He loves you that much. In faithfulness and in righteousness. If we were all honest in this room, we have not been faithful to Him. But aren't you glad He's faithful to you? That's who He is. That's who He is. In faithfulness and in righteousness. Remember, it takes righteousness to bring peace. You can't have peace without first having righteousness. And God's people weren't righteous. God's city wasn't righteous, just like we're not righteous. But oh, because He is faithful, because He is righteous, we have peace. Verse 9. Woo, man. I'm having a good time. Thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong. Remember, He's asked them to do the work. They've been trying to build this temple. And as soon as they laid the foundation, they just said, nah, this isn't going to be that great. But God has commanded them to be. Here's how I know you can be strong. Because God says we can. In this day and age, and I don't want to get into some diatribe on Christian nationalism, blah, 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 blah. But I can tell you this, in a day and age when Christians speak and nobody cares, we can still be strong. I read an article this morning about how Pornhub can be ethical, and I'm pulling my hair out. Because there's nothing ethical about abusing women, ever. There's nothing ethical about killing babies. There's nothing ethical about anything in our existence. And man, our hearts are breaking. Our minds are bending. But guess what? We can be strong. How do I know? Because God says, be strong. There's a work. Man, just like, okay, 2,500 years ago, here they are, God's people. God has a work for them. And they accomplish, like we know history, they accomplished the work that they didn't think they could accomplish, not by their might, not by their power, but by the Spirit of God. And I take that. And I know that you and I, we can be God's people right now because He's made us His people. Be strong. Let your hands be strong. You who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets. And man, God, praise His name. He didn't stop speaking in Zechariah's day. He's been speaking. He's still speaking. Does He speak through the prophets anymore? No, Hebrews 1 tells us He speaks through the mouth of His own Son now. We know It's just so much better to be us than them. We know his name. We know his name. He came, he walked, he changed everything. Everything is different because Jesus, our God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Be strong. Let your hands be strong. You who in these days have been hearing these words from the mouth of the prophets. And I keep stopping there and we'll get through it, I guess, eventually. But how good is God to speak to his people? Man, they needed it. They wouldn't have made it without God's word speaking to them. But God did speak. Man, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep, they know my voice. Can you hear his voice this morning? Praise his name. He speaks, he loves, he's jealous for. Be strong. May your hands be strong in the Lord of hosts. Verse 10, for before those days there was no wage for man or wage for beast, neither was there any safety from the foe. Remember, the city was devastated. People were scattered. There was nothing good. There was no produce from the land. It was just desolation. That's where we ended in chapter 7, desolation. Let's go back to chapter 7 and read just those last two verses really quickly, beginning in verse 14. And I scattered them with a whirlwind. I mean, just get the imagery. Just the storms of life come blasting through the whirlwind. You've seen the pictures, people holding on to the light lampstands and their feet hanging out. That's what a whirlwind is. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations they had not known. A storm like they've never known before. Thus the land was left desolate, so that no one went to and fro, and the pleasant land was made desolate. It was once a pleasant land, but now it's just not. Back to verse 10. For before those days there was no wage for man or wage for beast, neither were there any safety from the foe for him who went and came in. For I set every man against his neighbor. Just look, and we get it. We feel it today. I was telling somebody just this past week, there's never been a time I've ever seen in my life where people just hated other people. I mean, it's bad. If you don't see it, you're not paying attention. People hate other people, just complain and gripe and terrible and nonsense. I mean, I walked out of my house yesterday and it was stupid yard sale day and all the neighbors and all the, and I just don't like you people. It's where we're at right now. Verse 11. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in the former days, declares the Lord. Listen, as bad as you feel like people are, I mean, if you're holy, righteous God, think about how you would look down upon this world. You talk about pulling your hair out. As God in his perfection looks down upon us. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in former days, declares the Lord of hosts. For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its produce, and the heavens shall give their dew. Just, man, always fruit on the vine. The land always does what it's supposed to do. No more years of famine. People worked hard, and sometimes the land did not produce as it was supposed to, and just devastation, desolation. No more. May your hands be strong. 4 points. Verse 13. No, go back to verse 12. And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations. Man, just process that for a minute. All these neighbors of Israel, they hated Israel. How dare you think you're God's people? How dare you have a God that's jealous for you? How dare you have a God that wants to be in your presence? All we got is stupid fish gods, daggone. All we got is Baal. Elijah already proved he's nothing. How dare you have a God? Listen, the world's going to hate God's people. They always have. But may your hands be strong this morning. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah, house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. You know, this is a command that God gives his people over and over. It's actually the most mentioned command in all of the Old Testament. Fear not. I've asked you this question before, but let me ask it again. What would human life look like from a people whose hands were made strong by the Lord and didn't fear a thing? That's how he created us to live. Oh, people, haters. Haters gonna hate, 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 hate. I got 23 minutes and I want to get some places. But what would it look like for us to believe who our God says he is? Oh. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purpose to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent. I did exactly right. One of our small group questions this past week, if you went to small group, right? How was God gracious to these people that he sent into exile? By telling them he was going to do it in the first place. They knew exactly the consequences of their sin because God let them know beforehand. God let them know all this was going to happen if they didn't act the way that God had commanded them to behave. They knew the exile was coming. Remember those four things. Go back to chapter 7 really quick. And again, man, I want to get to Numbers 15. So we can talk about the exciting tassels on garments. It's not exciting, but it's awesome. Look back at verse 11. They refused to pay attention. They turned a stubborn shoulder. They stopped their ears. La, 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 la. And they made their hearts diamond hard. God is just to continuously call his people a stiff-necked, hard-hearted people. He constantly gave them everything they needed, and they just wouldn't have it. But here God says, verse 14, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, as I purposed to bring disaster to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I did not relent, everything I said happened. So again have I purposed in these days to bring good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear not." And again, we know his name. His name is Jesus. And he belongs to us, and we belong to him just the way he wanted. Fear not. Let's move fast. Verse 16. "These are things that you shall do." And again, this goes all the way back, if you'll remember, to what God said. Here's what I want. Thus says the verse 9 of chapter 7. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor. Let none of you devise evil against another in your heart." Here we find ourselves in verse 16 of chapter 8. "Fear not. Make your hands strong and put them to the plow of what God wants for us in this world, to be salt, to be light. These are the things that you shall do. Speak the truth to one another." You know what our problem is? We keep telling people their terrible behavior is somehow good. We keep telling people, "You just live your truth." Guess what? Your truth sucks. Your truth is the very worst truth. What does God want? Man, he's given the words of life, and he says, "Speak true to one another." There's a way to live. There's a way we were created to live. And when we do things God's way, blessing, blessing, righteousness, faithfulness. We sell ourselves so short. That's why I love that. Make your hands strong. Fear not. How can God say that to us? So we can be his people. So we can be Christians. Little Christ, reflect him well in this world. Listen, we don't save ourselves through our labors. But man, do we make much of Jesus when we live the way that he has called us to live. Speak the truth to one another. Don't you just want to grab that little weirdo trans kid on Facebook and just shake him? Because he doesn't have parents that love him. He doesn't have anybody speaking truth in his life, so he's making it up as he goes. No wonder he hates his life. Speak true to one another. I'm not going to bring up Dylan Mulvaney. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates. Listen, we can't control everything that happens in the world, but we can control things that are in our gates. Come on, somebody. I tell people all the time, you can't stop them from being, you can't stop stupid. But you can look in the mirror and see stupid. I've got the shirt from Chantel. Is she in here? Every man is stupid. We can control things that happen in our gates. Don't think your kid is too far. Don't think that niece, that nephew, that uncle, that cousin. We've got to speak the truth to people who are in our sphere. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Right? I can't remember where it's at now, but as much as you can, live peacefully with other people, Jesus says. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another and love no false oath. Why is it we love just fake news? It's like we feed. We keep giving people our attention that are just false. It's like we can't get enough of it. You know, God told his people, you know, you come in all this fasting in the fourth month, in the fifth month, you're doing all this great religious stuff, yet you're oppressing the people that are in your own house. Man, if we could just get this. All these things, God says, I hate. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, the tenth shall be to the house of Judah seasons of joy. Right there, they're working so hard to be sorry. God says, I'm going to turn your fasts into feasts. Man, if that was a word for us today, yes and amen. Therefore, love truth and love peace. I'm not going to say that. Look at me, growth. I'm doing so good. Let's get to where I really want to get. I thought the whole sermon was going to be kind of somewhere else. But God's good. Verse 20, which is, by the way, is what my dad texted me this morning. He's in ICU, and he texts me just, I love him so much. He's like, be spirit-led, Brent. Don't get up there and just do some sermon. Be spirit-led. Because it's what God, man, we don't know what we're doing. But God knows what he wants for you. He's jealous for you. Jesus, thank you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. And this goes back to that, I can't remember which vision it was, but the measuring line where God, you know, God's people are out there and they have, this is where the corner of the temple was, here's the other corner, and the angel of the Lord just says, hey, whoa, 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 it's going to be way bigger than that. And look what Jesus, right, listen, we get, again, our vantage point, we know his name. We know he has people all over the world. But back here, everybody hates, the Samaritans hate them. Everybody hates them. God's like, this thing I'm going to do, man, I'm going to bring people from everywhere. And you and I, we're sitting right in the middle of it. I mean, praise God. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord, to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going, Zechariah says. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Now look, here's kind of what I wanted the whole sermon to be. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Let's just go to Numbers 15. I should probably stay out of politics forever this morning. Very exciting. Tassels on garments. Verse 37, chapter 15 of Numbers. This is awesome. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations." And here's two words you need to know in Hebrew: tzitzio, tzitzit, and kanaf. Right? Sometimes it's translated as wings. The hems of the garments of God's people, they were to put tzitzit, tzitzio. They were to hang tassels on the hems, the wings, the corners of their garments. It was God's command. "Put a cord of blue on each tassel of each corner, and it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them." Right? They were reminders. God has spoken, and He's your God, and He's jealous for you, and He loves you. Follow Him. That's what the tzitzit was for. "For you to look and remember all the commandments of the Lord, to do them, not to follow after your own heart or your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after." If you got little kids in here, sorry, but that's the Bible. I was talking to Nick. I can't remember where he went. He went somewhere in Deuteronomy. He was like, "Dude, whore was in there like 15 times. But that's who we are. "So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So these people are walking around every day. Well, isn't that just a fun word? Tzitzio. Tzitzit. They're walking around with these tassels that are meant to be a reminder to them of what God has spoken. Turn to Malachi really quick now. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And Terry will put it up on the screen for you if you can't. You know, Malachi is a contemporary of Zechariah. They're almost right there together. Malachi is a little later, but it's important. Temple's built at this point. But one is coming who's going to build a better temple. His name's Jesus. Verse 2 of chapter 4. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." Now that word there is kanaf. It's the same word: wing, hem, corner. It's translated all three of those ways. So where, what's going on here? The tzitzit would have been tied and attached to the wing, the corner. "You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." So here's what happened after Malachi wrote his prophecy. The last book, Malachi actually says, this is it. This is the last of the word of the Lord. You have everything, Israel, that you need to recognize your Messiah, the coming Savior. He's going to come with healing in His wings. And so this amazing mythology began to occur within the minds of God's people. Remember, it's 400 years between Malachi and the book of Matthew. 400 years, God doesn't send any more prophets. He says, you have everything you need. You should be able to recognize Messiah when He comes. And He's coming with healing in His wings. Now turn to Matthew chapter 9 and let's kind of see how this fleshes out 400 years later. Man, don't you love the Bible? It's just awesome. If you've never understood what this woman is trying to do, by God's grace this morning, you'll be able to understand. You'll know why she had to get to Jesus, why she had to get to the corner of his robe. If I can just get there. And this is for each of us today. Man, what's the point of this message? Get to Jesus. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything hinder you from getting to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 19. And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples, and behold, a woman who had suffering from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. Fringe, corner, wing, it's all the same word. Here's what you need to understand about this woman. This woman, her condition was like leprosy in the ancient world. Every time she came in contact with someone else, she had to yell out, unclean, right? Because the discharge of blood, it was just, man, it's a brutal, brutal thing that she was suffering from. And in under the law, it made her an unclean person. She could not live the normal life. We know from other places in Scripture, she spent every dime she had. She went to every healer, every person she could get to, every person she could go to that offered any kind of hope of healing. She's been there, done that. And now we see her in a crowd of people, which she shouldn't even be there in the first place, because she's unclean. But what does she do? She hears the Lord say, strengthen your hands and fear not. Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples, and behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. What's she doing? She believes Malachi. She believes that there is healing in the corner, in the wings. If she can just get to those tassels hanging off the corner of Jesus, what is she saying in this fighting through the crowd to get there? She's saying, I know who you are. I know you are the Son of Righteousness. And if I can just get to the hem of your garment, healing will be mine. If you have ever believed in Jesus, believe in him this morning and just get there. Just get there. Life is a funny thing. I'm singing Alanis Morissette. Don't know where that came from. God doesn't promise us, right? Just like Paul, there's thorns in the flesh. Sometimes there are consequences of our sin that we have to experience exile for a little while. Because God is jealous for us with great wrath. He loves us enough to make us uncomfortable so we will see and remember our incredible need for him. I'm not going to tell you. All right, my dad this morning is not living his best life now. Robbie's on a ventilator this morning. He's my age. strengthen your hand. Fear not. Whatever you have to do, if the ushers would come so we can partake in communion, whatever it is you have to do today, don't let the crowd keep you from getting to Jesus. Get to Jesus. Amen.